We have been looking at, before Christmas and before Thanksgiving, chapter 11 of the 1689 Confession, which is the chapter on justification. And we have made it to paragraph 3 of chapter 11. Paragraph 3 says, Christ, by his obedience and death, did fully discharge the debt of all those that are justified, and did, by the sacrifice of himself in the blood of his cross, undergo in their stead the penalty due unto them. Make a proper, real, and full satisfaction to God's justice in their behalf. Yet, inasmuch as he was given by the Father for them, and his obedience and satisfaction accepted in their stead, both freely, not for anything in them, their justification is only of free grace, that both the exact justice and rich grace of God might be glorified in the justification of sinners. Now, justification, that is, us being given or imputed the righteousness of Christ. Now, the word justification and righteousness is the same word in the New Testament, but when we translate it out of the Greek into English, we have some difficulty, so we have to go find another word for, because we don't have, here's justification, which is a noun. We don't have righteification. We do have the word righteousness, but when it comes to the noun, we had to go to another English word, justification. Now, justification happened on the cross, but it is not realized. So if you read, if I were to do a sermon on the word justification, how it's used in the Bible, then I would say, you know, show you that often justification is applied when conversion happens. So when conversion happens, then we are justified. Our justification comes to us and attaches to us. So there was something that happened on a mountain outside of Jerusalem sometime in the spring of AD, probably in our month of April. And the month was where we get the word Easter is really the month that was, you know, it's named after the month that Christ, wherein he died. It's a lunar thing. That's why it keeps changing. That's why it's hard to predict. You know, like Christmas is not hard to predict, or Thanksgiving, but Easter is always hard to predict because it's based upon a lunar calendar. And so, the resurrection Sunday is established by it is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox, that is after the first day of spring. So the first day of spring, the first full moon after the first day of spring, the first Sunday after that full moon is Easter. So you can see it's very difficult to predict that in the future. But sometime out in April, outside the walls of Jerusalem, on a hill called Calvary or Golgotha, Christ did bleed and die on a cross. All of history before that came to that cross. all of history after that flows from that cross. It is the pivotal time. The word for cross in Latin is crux, where we get, you know, it is where we get the word crux. It is the crux of the matter. And so here, all of history has been determined by that act, where Christ bore our sin in his body on a tree, on the cross, bleeding and dying for us. For there was an imputation of our guilt to him. And he never lost who he was. There are those that teach and preach because they don't understand the truth of this thing, that Christ actually became sin, but that's not right. He was in our stead. The word there in the Greek is huper, in our stead. Now, this is a real, it's a proper and real and full satisfaction. So it's not a potential. Christ didn't die that he might potentially save us. You know, Ephesians 1, we learned for our faith presentation, in him, that is, you know, we have redemption in him. You know, and then Ephesians says, you know, well, Colossians adds in his blood. And so we have redemption through his blood. And then Colossians adds even, you know, on the cross. But we have redemption through his blood, the salvation of sin. So it is in him. We have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, so when the hymn writer says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew for whom he was dying. In fact, Isaiah 53 says that he saw his seed. He saw his seed. He prolonged his day. Now, if you were reading Isaiah 53, and you came across the fact that he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed, and you're reading that he has made his soul a sacrifice for sin, that he's died, and yet how can someone who is dying prolong his day? How can someone who is dying see his seed? He's dying. You know, the old saying is that when you kill a man, it's quite a horrible thing. It's a wonder when you kill a man. Because not only do you take away everything he has and everything that he is, but everything that he will be and everything that he ever would have. But that's not the language of Isaiah 53. There seems to be something in the future, though this man is dying. Well, he indeed made a proper, real, and full satisfaction. Well, and then it is applied. So something happened there, and it has to be applied. A great book written by John Murray, Redemption Accomplished and Applied. How did it get to us? Well, here's a description of justification and grace. Romans 8:32 says that he, meaning God the Father, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Again, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says he made his soul a sacrifice, or he was delivered and he died. He's the savior of all men to be testified, to be testified of. He died for all to be testified in due time. So there is this thing that you don't have to guess. It's going to become apparent and real. Well, he delivered him up for us all. So if he delivered him up for us, every one of us, how is he ever going to hold back anything from us? He will also freely give unto us everything. So Christ, by his obedience and death, did fully discharge the debt of all those that are justified. So there's nothing left for them to be held responsible for. It's completely done. And did, by the sacrifice of himself in the blood of his cross, undergo in their stead. So not only did he bring something to us in the sense of imputing righteousness, but he actually took our penalty. Now, that's quite an astounding concept. That in our stead, the penalty, see, the penalty for sin, the wages of sin is death. But it's not just dying. But it is death. It doesn't say the wages of sin is dying. It says the wages of sin is death. Now when someone dies, someone who dies bearing his own or her own penalty, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that they just drop dead. That's what a lot of people would hope that would mean. Someone that is in such despair that they would take their own life, or that they're just tired of this world. And you listen to the infidel, you listen to the unbeliever talk about life, talk about what we are in this world. They talk about the pain of this world, the suffering of this world, and the hurt of this world. You know, they say, well, you know, life doesn't hurt only every now and then. Rarely does life not hurt. And yet, we as Christians don't see it in that direction. We don't see life as a curse to us, but as a gift to us. But there are those that think they just want to be finished with it. And their hope, they're basing their hope on that there is nothing beyond this. I just won't hurt anymore. I just won't have to live anymore. But we know that's not right. Not because we've experienced it, but because we have been taught it by the Word of God. Death means a continual, eternal existence in hell. We die to live. Our dying will bring us to life as Christians. As unbelievers, their dying brings them to death. And it's eternal death. It's never-ending death. I believe the Bible gives us enough information that we can say it is increasing death. That the pain, the fire and the brimstone, the gnashing of teeth, it never ends. Look, the thing that is most devastating psychologically to a person who is ill and who feels the discomfort in their body, the most psychologically damaging thing to them is to know that no matter how much pain they are in today, this is going to be the best day because tomorrow is going to be worse. There is no hope. When a person loses hope, it is psychologically destructive. It's a psychologically annihilating. And those are the things that in hell, the suffering of the body is surely going to be, and you're going to have a body in hell that can suffer, and it's going to feel, this body that we have on the earth, there's only so much pain that this body will tolerate, then it will just black out. But in hell, there's no blacking out. So there's bodily penalty, but there's psychological penalty, mental penalty. So there's bodily pain, psychological pain, mental pain. In our stead, he took our penalty. And it's everlasting, enduring, eternal pain. But he didn't just take the penalty for one, but for an innumerable host that no man can number. His father bruising him with a rod. Every stroke of that rod. An eternity of pain. Physical, mental, emotional, psychological. What did he do for us on that cross? Let's pray.